The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Jordan, I just want to warn you, I am on a little bit of a minute restriction from my other podcast. I've only got about 60 and then 45 minutes total for the next two shows, so use those as you will.
All right, dang. I think I'll be subbing you out if I go extra time, I guess.
I'm good, Jordan. I'm doing all right. Besides the minute restriction, I'm doing all right. Like, good. This week's been a much better week, but how are you doing, Jordan? We just saw each other in person.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was like looking for like the stop and start button. I didn't know what to do. I had notes in front of me.
If you don't know, when we see each other in person, we sing the theme song and then we count it down.
Yeah.
And then I do the whole intro as if we're doing the podcast. So that is the first 30 seconds is like us sitting there blinking at each other until... Yep.
Our wives until thought it was
the
really
waitress
strange,
is but... like, what do you want to eat?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, we bring all of our stuff and we record podcasts live.
It was good. Vacation. I'm back from vacation, so that feels good. I mean, it feels good in the sense of I'm no longer driving like 10 hours a day to get here. But it sucks that I am back from vacation, I guess.
Yeah.
And this was like a real vacation, Logan. I think this is the first vacation I did not podcast on in years.
That is interesting. That's right. Because you would have done it, I know, in the
2021,
RSL trip that you took.
We recorded stoppage while I was on vacation. Because I gave you guys our stoppage shirts.
Oh, that's right. Because you did it from Animal Kingdom, didn't you? Where are you guys at Animal Kingdom?
No, I was at, where was I? I was at Saratoga, I think. Or Old Key. I was at Old Key in 2021. Then I think 2022, when I was in Salt Lake, we record it. When I was in Disney last year for Matt's wedding, we record it. I believe. Yeah, we record it like the night I got in.
Yeah.
And then we saw each other like the next day. But
yeah.
Yeah, so this was like the first real vacation. And you know, of course, stuff was popping off. Like for the other shows, they're like, "We'll drop a new Star Wars trailer." And I'm like, "I'm on vacation. I can't record this. I'd left all my stuff at home." And X-Men 97 dropped, so the Marvel pod, I couldn't podcast about that.
Yeah.
So that stuff's coming.
U.S. Men's National Team didn't calm down while you were gone. MLS surely didn't calm down when you were gone.
I know.
Everything was happening. The refs were getting news from the refs. We're getting
the
U.S. Men's National Team.
The games were happening as I'm, like, driving.
Right.
So I had to catch up, like, today on, like, what's it called?
The wrap-up. Yeah.
Highlights. Watching highlights and stuff because I was driving. So the only thing, at a certain point, about 45 minutes before we stopped for the night, I had stopped at Bucky's, which is my parents' like favorite place to stop. Stopped there and found out that they were playing LAFC on the Sirius XM app. And I still have my trial of that, 3 month trial, that I was like, oh, I'll listen to this as I'm driving then. So I got to listen to friend of the podcast, Dave Denham. Right.
Yeah.
He was Dave's on. Great. He was on. What, 2 years ago? It was like right before they won the whole thing.
Yeah, because we had him on for Bale.
Voice of the LAFC radio. And he was great. I mean, that helped me get through it. There was a point where Bawanga hit the post like twice, and he's like, "You'd think I'm lying to you." He hit the post twice. It was great.
Good.
Like, really great call.
He's really good.
So I tweeted at him. He liked it again. So that was nice. And then I was like, you know, catching up on stuff when I get to the hotel too. Like, oh, the Union are up 3-0. This is great. So that was my time. The Jamaica game, I got to watch most of that. That's what we're talking about in this episode, by the way. The next episode will be our usual wrap up. But yeah, so the Jamaica game, I watched most of it before I had other things I had to do after the 90th minute. So of course I missed like all the great stuff. Saw the equalizer, right? And then it was, I have to go to Disney Springs. So, but I'm like following along as I'm walking through the, yeah, because I walked from Saratoga to Springs. So that was nice trying to keep up with that. We ended up winning that game. But let me tell you, I think it's time for us to dive in to this. U.S. Men's National Team, Nations League champs again. That's three times we're the only team to have won that trophy at all. And, you know, I kind of turned off the game last night before the trophy celebration because we had to go up and unpack. And Joy's like, don't you want to watch the trophy celebration? I was like, and we won this thing like three times. It wasn't even a challenge. I think I'm good. I did turn it on when we went upstairs, but it was just kind of like that old, it felt old hat at that point. You know, we were, we're the only team to have won it. So Logan, I ask you before we dive into all these games, because the Jamaica game was a cluster. Does this cup need another team to win it to make it more special? Or are you fine if like we just end up like 10 in a row? No problem.
I'll go even more extreme, Jordan. This region needs another team. As far as the
we're going to create a new country.
Yeah, we're going. Yes, absolutely. It'll be called Florida. it could be dangerous. But no, I all jokes aside, I really do. I think there's a tremendous gap between the United States currently and I would say Canada and Mexico. Canada, I wouldn't have said that about Jordan during qualifying, but once it got to World Cup, they were in shambles. And now that John Herdman's no longer there, I think there is concern for Canada. The other thing with Canada, they've got players that I think are a little bit more inconsistent. And I think they're kind of at the bare bones where the United States was, where they're trying to develop good young talent. They're just not there yet. I think they have the prospects to do it, but I think it'll take, you know, another cycle before they're actually really competitive. And I say that and people are like, well, you know, Canada, they surpassed the United States in CONCACAF, you know, qualifying. And it really depends on how good your team is when it hits the right spot. So for all these international windows. But yeah, no, I think, yes, it needs, these competitions need other teams to win it to be more, I think, enticing for fans to show up. Part of the reason why I think American fans didn't really, I mean, I know we've had a hard time showing up to different places, especially when we start to go south towards Mexico. But I think part of it is the allure of going to a competition where we've not seen any kind of threat from anybody. And I think we struggle from having weaker opponents in CONCACAF, where it's a little bit more difficult to convince people that a Jamaica United States game is going to provide you entertainment value more than March Madness would. And that's what happened. It falls on the March Madness weekend. So I don't know. It's tough. But yeah, I think another team being competitive, but right now, Jordan, there's not one. There's not a team. I think that is, or, you know, Jamaica gave us a good run, but that was just because I think the US was so bad.
There's a few things I think that can make this better is having the final not be during the March Madness. Push it a month. I don't know. What's the next international window? I have no clue. But push it to then.
I'd imagine it's April, isn't it? April or
May? Yeah, I think so. April or May. So I would want to push it till a different international date or an earlier date. Not that it matters too much, but the people that own the Nations League rights are CBS. Do you know who has the rights to March Madness? CBS Turner, yeah. Sports. All right. Both of them, and they're both of the U.S. men's national team. You know, like CONCACAF Nations League rights are with Paramount, TNT, and the rest of Turner owns U.S. men's national team rights. So even if it wasn't like a, so my point being, like, even if it wasn't a CONCACAF Nations League tournament, the other TV rights holder is also busy during this time. So it just ends up getting pushed to Paramount. which sucked, by the way, because I had trouble with that last night. But anyway,
you weren't the only one I saw on Twitter. Really? There was on Twitter. It was actually starting to trend on our, you know how it trends now. Like you don't actually see trending. You see trending for your timeline. And yeah, Paramount was having huge issues yesterday with buffering.
So we had issues with that. So I would move it a little bit. I know CONCACAF isn't strictly focused on U.S. stuff, but I mean, it is a big market and they play almost every game here for all of their tournaments. So it'd be nice to kind of figure that out. Two, you talked about the fans, how they didn't show up for Jamaica, USA. Here's why. It's because they sell tickets to both games, right? If you get a ticket for one, you get the ticket for the other game. So who went and bought all those tickets in that Dallas area? The Mexican fans.
Right. Yeah.
Why would they show up before their game? Sometimes they don't, right? Like sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Whenever I went to one of these like Gold Cup matches, if the USA was the second game, we were there for the first game and just would watch soccer. It'd be like, we want to get there and watch both. It's a nice doubleheader. And that's what we would do. But CONCACAF always does this. I don't know if it's a logistic thing or what. But maybe if you're going to have one in Dallas, maybe have the other one in Houston, and it's not going to be sold as the same ticket, right? You still have it earlier in the day, and then you have the next game later that night, but don't have it at the same field. Let other fans show up. Jamaica or USA fans maybe would have bought those tickets if they're like, they're a little bit inflated because I'm getting two games. I don't really care about the second game. Mexican fans were like, hell yeah, I'll buy those. No problem. And then they don't show up until midway through the second half. I also want to say that's not a U.S. I saw some people trying to say that's our federation's issue. This is CONCACAF issue. So they've done it for Gold Cup. They do it for this. Get these games in different areas and get them just one game at a time. We don't need to sell double the tickets. In this way, you can sell double the tickets and actually probably make more money if you sell them for individual games. But that's like the big thing on my complaints with CONCACAF and the Nations League is like timing. And then, yeah, let's sell tickets differently. Let's not do it as a buy one, get one type of thing where it's a double header like that. Try to get it where fans are of the team are actually showing up. Because I do think USA fans would show up if tickets were reasonable. That's a CONCACAF issue. And if like they're not beat to the tickets from other fans buying it for the later game.
And I know they're trying to prepare for like the World Cup and stuff, but I did see a really good, interesting point from a lot of U.S. men's national team Twitter. And I get it because you're trying to appease other fans and trying to take them like on a tour with some of these competitions. But there becomes a time where it's like, just play these in Columbus. Like, go play these like in Ohio State Stadium. Like, we're going to get way more fans to show up from the Midwest. Like, Midwest is it's the heart. And I feel like it's a good way to go. We're putting it right in the center of the United States. So we can put them in like Midwest or Central America, like not Central America, but like Central United States, then I think we would draw more. It's tough because it's like, I get why they go west with it. And CONCACAF's not stupid. They know if they go to California or Texas that the Mexican fans will show up.
Right. And they're the ones guaranteed to buy the tickets.
Right. Right. But like these friendlies and stuff, I'm so tired of us going to play in like, you know, one of these cities that don't give a crap about football and or soccer, I guess. And nobody shows up. Continue to play in the Midwest. Continue to play
lower tickets, by the way.
San Diego. Yeah.
Because exactly. Like, I think the one in Connecticut that they played had like astronomical ticket prices. And you're like.
Which is okay. Also an issue because of smaller stadiums. They need to stop.
Do you want people to go?
Right.
Or do you not want people to go?
And all these colleges have huge, huge football stadiums. And they've got no issue playing on football stadiums, it seems. So
right.
Why not take them to one of the big universities?
All right, I guess let's get into the game proper. USA versus Jamaica. This did not look good. The early in the game here, right after kickoff, 30 seconds in, Cordova Reed crosses the ball in and header into 30 seconds in. 30 seconds in, Jamaica takes the lead. I turned it on after that.
Same. I hadn't gotten it up yet.
Yeah, I think I turned it on. I think I'd got back from like
yeah
dinner or the pool or whatever we were doing in the second half. So then I turned it on at probably like 45th or right before halftime, something like that. And of course I got the notification. So I got the notification 1-0 right away. I'm like, oh, come on. And, you know, watching the rest of that game for the first 90 minutes, it's just half chances, right? Like there's times where we're getting chances, but it seemed like the players aren't comfortable. Like there's times where Pulisic has a shot and he like almost takes an extra touch, you know, or players taking the extra touch, trying to force it in, and nothing was really happening with that at all. And it was very frustrating to watch. What did you see in this first game here, USA Jamaica, the semifinal?
I think it was a team that lacked creativity, as we always talk about with this team. It seemed, which is funny because of what we'll talk about next, but there really does. There seems to be at times lack of creativity. And I think it's honestly it's starting to look like it's more of the selection of players that we put out there rather than possibly, you know, having an actual issue in the attack. Yes, we don't have like that star-studded striker that you just put up there and he's going to get goals. And you can just expect that, you know, he's going to grab 6 to 8 goals in a competition like the World Cup. So again, I think it was a lack of creativity in the attack. And then without Tyler Adams, you got to see what the United States would look like. And there's so many people on Twitter that are like, Johnny Cardoza, why doesn't he start? Well, or Joe Scally, why isn't he playing over Sergiño Dest? You've got your answers now. I think they're good players, or it's good to have that competition, but you see what happens when Tyler Adams is not playing, when Sergiño Dest isn't playing, when Balogun's starting and he hasn't been playing or in form at all and doesn't have the skill like Gio Reyna where he just picks it up and he's like a godsend with the football. I think Balogun takes a while to get going. You know, take the second half, they flipped the script and we started to look a lot more dangerous. You had Brendan Aaronson, you had, you know, players like that. Sorry, my Alexa's talking. I was like, is somebody in the house? but yeah, Jordan, just creativity, the lack thereof. And really Jamaica, just your boy Lowe was really good. Damian Lowe was actually really good for Jamaica. Andre Blake played really well too. And they did. They looked like they had a lot of answers for the United States. And, you know, the U.S. didn't really have any way to break it down. Once they went up 1-0, Jordan, that was the issue. Like, they sat in a low block. And the U.S. cannot dissect a low block very well. They've just not been able to ever do it. So,
yeah, that's why it's always like the semifinal is like the toughest game, because the final, Mexico doesn't sit back a lot, right? Like Mexico will attack at times, and then you're able to kind of catch them out. While like Jamaica, Panama, those type of teams will be like,
yeah, those smaller clubs will just sit. Yeah.
Because they know they're playing against the team that has that quality. So they're like, we're going to just make it really hard for you to break us down. And it almost worked, right? It's an own goal in the last kick of the match that sends the USA to extra time. Now, at this point, I was very furious. I was Greg out.
Same.
Right? Like, we were very open at the end of the World Cup that we wanted a change, right? And then we kind of went without a coach for a while and then finally settled on Greg again at the end of last year. There is a constant worry about his teams not being able to score. That is a real thing. It's why he got kind of fired when he was overseas. We've all seen the headline people post, the Greg out people post it all the time, right? Of his team failing to create chances or score. I don't remember much with his Columbus team. I want to go back and probably look at those stats on when he was there and just see how often they scored, right? this is our biggest obstacle. And this is like Jamaica. Jamaica was missing some key players as well that we, you know, maybe we'd lose if they had their full strength lineup. And what I'll say is, great. Greg won. We won it all. Three times, right? This is our tournament. We've won it three times. This is his third trophy because he won a Gold Cup, I believe, as well. And he wasn't here for the last Nations League. So we've won three trophies. All on U.S. soil. That's great. The next big trophy is on U.S. soil. Copa America and World Cup are all on U.S. soil. So we're setting ourselves up pretty well. But I was very Greg out at this point, and I still think, ultimately, I don't know where I sit on this, but I was during this game. I said it like right before they scored, so you're welcome. I jinxed it. We won. But we looked so bad against Jamaica, and I get it. They're professionals as well. My issue is, this is the team that everybody wanted, right? Like, this is like, there was no like MLS players that people were complaining about online being in this squad. Very few in the lineup. And yet this mostly Euro team of our best players almost lost because they can't create the goals. So that is a wake up call. To me, that yes, we can beat Mexico. Mexico right now doesn't seem to be much of an issue. What, we're unbeaten in like seven games with them? I think the last time we lost is 2019 to Mexico.
I have it in the notes. I think it's 2017. Thought I had it down here.
Either way, it's an odd number. 17, 19, something like that. That is, they're not our, yes, they're our rival, but I don't know if we can measure our success with them at this point. So for me, it's, we almost choked at home. We were able to save ourselves with a own goal and move on to the final where we won. We were the best team on the field that day. But I don't know if we can just look at, oh, he's got three CONCACAF titles and say, that's good enough either. Copa, I don't believe in setting the stuff like that people say of, okay, if we don't make the semis, he's out. I think you have to do it by how we look. Like, I do think, like, you mean to tell me if we make the semis and we win each game 1-0 and it's an own goal from the goalkeeper just throwing it in the back of his own net, that we would be like, oh, we feel really great that we made the semis? No, like, you at some point you have to go off of the actual on the field stuff, and this team isn't really producing in the attack, which is a common symptom of Greg's teams, and that is what I worry about. And I think if you have to make the change, it has to be right after Copa if something goes south, because that gives you the rest of 2024, all of 2025, and half of 2026 to gear up for the World Cup. And that is the big thing. I don't want to waste this opportunity we have of 2026 hosting it and making a deep run in 2026. Now, the other half of me is saying the players played for him. They went out there and won. Tyler Adams was saying how great of a coach he is yesterday. So part of me is, look, I'm not the guy that makes a decision. So in my opinion right now, I'm kind of split on that Jamaica game was so bad, but we rebounded and got a trophy. But does that trophy actually matter if we're the only team to win that trophy? I don't know. Like, that, we haven't really had that much opposition in this tournament to be able to say that's our standard. Right? So what? If we lose it next year, is it like he's out because we've won it three times? Now this time you can't win it? Like, how much are we actually putting on the Nations League? is kind of what I want to know from fans and from other people of what should we expect? Should we expect to win it every year? Doing that three times in a row makes me feel like, yes, we should, but I don't know if that's reasonable.
Yeah, this is the shortest cycle that I think I want to say historically the World Cup's ever had because we did the odd winter. Yeah, the odd winter World Cup in 2022. So in 2026, in June, it'll be, 3.5 years, which is crazy to think. But Jordan, if we're sitting here this time next year and Greg Berhalter's still the coach and we're having a hard time creating, we've got big time issues. Because once you get within a year of the World Cup, it's going to go by so fast. We know what that's like. Like, it just seems like we just got rid of the last World Cup, and it's already where we're down to the kind of that final, you know, 2 year period where that's where you hope to have an idea as to what your team's going to really start to look like heading into that year just before the World Cup. And because of I think the attention that the U.S. is going to get, there's going to be even more pressure, and younger guys typically don't handle pressure as well. I can't imagine this team, and maybe I'm wrong because of just the way that Greg seems to be held pretty high by a lot of the players. That's where my hesitancy is that if you do bring in somebody else, it needs to be somebody else that the players really like. And that person was broadcasting yesterday. There's only one other person that I think that this team either ends up going to, or they have a respect enough to play for, and that's Jesse Marsh. Like, I don't see it in anywhere, you know, anywhere possible that they go and hire somebody random. Like, it just doesn't seem like that's in the cards. It seems like if it's going to be another person, it'll be Jesse Marsh. And my concern there is Jesse didn't really have success internationally either. So it was like, you know, not internationally, but with club and European play. So it just, I concerned just because, like, the fact that I think that there is a constant pressure that Greg needs to perform. He needs to create. I don't think he's got it tactically down. I will say his decision making too has not always been great. Like, why he thought that Haji Wright and Gio Reyna, the way they played yesterday, why that translated into them not playing in that first match. And I get it. Gio's not played a whole lot of clubs, so you don't want to run him out there and get him hurt again. But Haji Wright has been playing at Coventry, so you know he's probably training like that. They did make a good point, and another, just kind of go off on a rant again, they did make a really good point. A lot of the players arrived and had one day of training before they got to play. And that's going to affect a lot. And that's what I love about people on Twitter. They're like, oh, well, Greg out. Well, you don't know what happens in training. Like, you have no idea what's going on in training. You don't know the relationship between he and the players. Like, you have no idea. So you don't know what that looks like.
Or they like posting 2-year-old clips of interviews Adams. With Wes and Adam about Johnny Cardozo.
Right. Which he didn't even know who Johnny was at that point, I don't think. So Wes,
I don't think a lot of people did.
Right.
He was playing in Brazil at that time.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people were.
Right.
But okay. So look, what I'll say is as well here is, I'm fairly consistent when it comes to managers on and when it's time to kind of let them go. There was a time where we lost humiliatingly to, I think, Spain, and right after 2010 World Cup, that I was like, Bob Bradley needs to go. Bob did leave not long after that. They bring in Klinsmann, who, as a fan of Germany as well, I was like, oh, this will be great. Strike one, leaving Donovan off the roster. Strike two, or I forget what strike two was. It was probably something. Strike three is 2015. We lost to Jamaica in the Gold Cup at home. And I feel like that's kind of my litmus test at times. It's like, if we lose to Jamaica at home in a cup competition like this, in a semifinal, you're out. It's kind of my thought. And Klinsmann did not get fired at that point. It wasn't until we started struggling in the World Cup qualifying cycle of 2018 that he got let go. But for me, that's when I really started calling for Klinsmann head. I was like, this is that. So I was gearing up for was gearing up for that during this game where I was like, look, I got to be consistent here. You're going to lose to Jamaica at home when you have the better team? You're out. We did rebound. We rebounded. We came back. But that's kind of my litmus test. Not that Jamaica can't be good and can't beat us or whatever. It's just we had so much stacked in our favor there. It was very frustrating seeing that happen. Let's see, 2017, we beat Jamaica in the final. 2019, we lost to Mexico in the final. 2021, we beat Mexico in the final. 2023, we got bounced out, didn't we? Gold Cup. Yeah. But we didn't have Greg at that point.
Yeah, no, it was Anthony Hudson at that point.
Yeah, who I was always out on.
I think a lot of us were, Jordan.
Like, all right. Yeah. But we lost to Panama, right. And we also lost a fourth place game in 2015 when I was Klinsmann out. We lost to Panama at Chester at Subaru. So, yeah, we'll see. I thought it was hysterical, by the way. Look, hindsight is 2020. But as we go into the final yesterday, all the people very, very upset that Tyler Adams was going to get the start over Johnny. With the excuse of, we just don't want him to get hurt. He's missed a whole year. How do you think he's going to get better if he's not playing? Right? He's got to get match fit. So he's going to play. Is an agreement with him and his club. Like, the U.S. understands this. So, yeah, we have, people spouting that off. And then, of course, Tyler Adams scores a hell of a goal. The best goal? One of the best goals against Mexico that a U.S. men's national team player has ever scored. Michael Bradley's is up there as well. But your thoughts on this goal by Tyler Adams?
Yeah, I saw it coming. I saw the shot coming. I didn't see the goal coming.
I was going to say, you saw that coming?
No, I did not see that shot coming. I saw he was pointing down at his feet like, come on, get it to me. I was like, oh no, he's going to wind up and hit this from like 30 yards out. It's going to go into like the 13th row behind the goal.
Just watched Orlando do that over and over again, right?
Yes. Right.
So you were like, oh,
I was used to that. Yeah, I was like, oh, here we go again, firing balls into the stands. But yeah, one of the best goals that you'll ever see, especially because he doesn't score. he's not the player you'll hardly ever. I think he scored one other time, and it was in 2018 against Mexico or something like that.
It was another time against Mexico. Yeah, I don't know the year.
I think it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a crazy goal too. But yeah, I don't. Tyler Adams is not who I had on my bingo card for breaking that deadlock, and pretty emphatically. And then after that, it just felt like the U.S. were going to roll.
Yeah, I saw some people trying to be like, well, other than that chance, nothing really happened. But we looked better. We were the better team, mm-hmm. even in that first half against them. And Gio got the start, too, which was great. He scored a goal. You talked about Jesse Marsh, and this is like, I was team Jesse for a bit. I don't know where to be now. I don't know if he's just saying stuff because he's a pundit now or what, but he was all like, Gio shouldn't be in this team. And then he was like, player of the tournament. Gio Reyna won player of the tournament. And then, he didn't even know Yunus Musa's name at the one clip. Do you remember that? It was months ago. He called him like Yusuf.
No.
Yeah, when he was talking on his podcast. So a little worrying if somebody that is in the middle of, I don't know, vying for the spot or whatever, if Greg is together, he doesn't know this stuff while he's also actively the media partner of it. So I don't really know. I think if we had to go with somebody, it would have to be somebody outside of these two candidates. But yeah, no, I mean, this was a great goal, great win. Gio Reyna has just taken it to another level without even playing for Nottingham. He's like fresh legs. He's like, I only played 43 minutes. Like, he is out there playing so well with this team. And here's what I want to say too. You mentioned it.
Yeah. It was noticeable.
Greg and Gio hugging it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want no more talk of this at all. People on Twitter, all this kind of stuff. Remember when people were like, oh, he hasn't even called Gio yet when he got the job. It's like, he doesn't need to, like, relax. I want to be done with this. So this will be my last piece on all of this. It is time to move on from the World Cup drama between Greg and Gio. It seems like they have. They hugged it out. He seemed very happy for Gio. The way Gio talked post-game about the players on the team. Because let's remember, there were players that were for kicking him off of the team during the World Cup, from all reports, that, you know, players were voting whether he could stay or not. So he had lost some of the team. But this interview he gave at the end of the game, where he just talked about how special this group is, how he's just happy to see Tyler Adams score after what he's gone through. He related to his injury issues. He understands this stuff. It was a very mature response. It seems like him and Greg are past it. Seems like the team is past it. Let's not let it linger anymore over us. I think the hatchet is buried. I think we can move on and stop talking about it and hopefully look forward to a long career of Gio Reyna being the best creative player on the team.
Yeah, he took that. He took that really well yesterday. I thought I, and you know, you hear things about Gio and then you hear other things about Gio about, you know, how he's not the problem, how it's just been an unfortunate string of injuries. Matt actually brought up a good point. Our friend that we did Stoppage Time with, he said that it's actually pretty common for younger soccer players to go through spells where it's actually like it literally is growing pains, like in the knees and in the back, which Gio struggled with, which would make sense. They actually, I forget, they coin a thing or they diagnose younger players with some one of these things where it's just ailments of the knees because that while it feels like you're tearing things, it's your body just trying to figure out. And he's a big kid, like. Gio's big, and I don't think people realize that until he goes up against some of the central midfielders, the defensive midfielders, and you're like, wow, he really is strong. And he's so young. I think he's only 22. And again, I was so impressed, Jordan, with his – I was more impressed. Like, I love the hugging because it did. It looked genuine. It looked
– He's 21. Turning 22 in
November.
That's
crazy. But it was just like – It sounded like a 30-year-old vet talking about the win. He didn't talk about himself at all, didn't like to, wasn't going to bring it up, and wanted to focus on other players that he just admired and how well he spoke of Tyler Adams, who Tyler Adams, just for those that are curious out there, would have been one of the ones in that leadership council, which I'm pretty sure he probably was number one in that leadership council between him, he and Pulisic that are going, no, leave. Him and Tim Ream, too. Like, go. Like, if you're not gonna play with us and be part of this team, then you need to leave. And I guarantee it was the three that he talked a lot about. So again, it does. It seemed like that. I tell you, Weston McKennie's really matured too. There were moments yesterday where I thought he could get into it with guys, but he left it alone. Gio left it alone. Like, he could have easily gotten into it with, I think it was, I forget if the guy, Sanchez or one of those two, was, they were causing all sorts of issues. It was probably the most mature response I've ever seen for Gio. And then his goal was just class. Like, everything he does is, and he was playing a new position. He was like a deeper lying midfielder, which you don't really see, but I think that's kind of the position he's going to have to play because it's tough to want to put Tyler Adams further back. It's tough to want to put Weston McKennie back there. So him kind of playing, and like I told you, like when he runs up beside Pulisic, it's like, it's unstoppable. Like, you can't stop the two of them. It's wild. So if we can just figure out the other side of it, I think, man, this team could start to finally, I guess, create goals.
All right. Yeah. So that's most of our U.S. men's national team talk. I think we went longer than we thought we would on that. But yeah, three times Nations League champions. Feels good. again, don't know how to feel. I'll probably be really disappointed next year if we don't win it, because I feel like it's just... Once you get to three, I feel like it's like, oh, I kind of expect this every time now. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, no, I can't wait for it. Later this year, of course, we have so much more U.S. content coming out. We'll have to do the next State of the Union at some point coming up. But yeah, can't wait. We got Olympics. We got Copa. We got a Gold Cup, right? We got like a million things coming up this year for U.S. men's national team. So make sure you stick around for that. You can like and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel, or you can rate and review us on your Apple Podcasts or Spotify podcast feeds. Make sure you comment, send us any feedback at statesideshow or statesideshow@gmail.com. If you want to tell Logan how wrong he is, he loves it. So make sure you go ahead and tell him that over on Twitter. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you next time with our next episode dropping Tuesday, which is our MLS Match Day 5 recap. So have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time.